We have lots we have to do as we go online and in person. And if you're joining us today online, welcome. We're so happy that you've chosen to join with us today. And for those of you who have been joining, and I would say there's a good number of you today that decided that you would turn your computer off and join us physically. It's just wonderful to have you here with us. If you're new here for the very first time, my name is Stephen Budd. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's just a wonderful privilege to meet you for the very first time, and I'd love to have a chat with you if you're up for that. So come and get me, and we don't have to bump fists, or we can stand at a distance, or whatever you want. But I'd love just to say hi and have a little chat with you. Well, what can I say this morning that hasn't already been said? Thanks, Meredith. Thanks, worship team, for leading us today. But I want to talk to you about bread. Now, you may be looking at me and saying, yes, that boy likes bread. And I have to say, believe it or not, yes, I love bread. Bread, bread, bread. Hot out of the oven bread. Or as many of us do nowadays, hot out of the bread maker bread, right? Light, fluffy bread. I can see the steam rising from it as I slice it or break it open. That soon to be slathered in butter center of bread. Right? Does anybody here who has a bread maker, do you fight over the cover, the cover piece of the bread, right? That piece at the very top? That is coveted in our household. Well, I don't think that there has ever been a loaf or slice that I haven't loved, enjoyed, or at least appreciated. Right now, don't get me wrong, not all bread is created equal. And if you're from a heritage or a family that enjoys bread that rises a lot, you're my people. If you like the half-rising stuff, you know, the rye bread, the sourdough bread, the medium bread, well, you know what? I enjoy that too. You can be my people as well. If you're just a plain flat bread, you know, we don't need to go through that process. And you're the type of person that just loves a good flat bread, well, guess what? You're my people too. But if I would say a particular bread that I prefer, it would be bread that has been given a little yeast to let it rise. And in our family, there's another coveted practice, and that is punching the loaf. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but you know, it rises and it gets like doubles in size, triples in size, and then it's like, oh, Dad, can I punch it? Absolutely, you go for it. And so we punch it and let it rise and then make our bread. Well, I certainly love a classic white bread. Boy, is that all he's going to talk about this morning? He's making me hungry. You know, made with yeast and baked to perfection, golden brown on the outside, soft white and fluffy on the inside. You know, I have to say I prefer the yeasty varieties of bread, but flatbreads can also have some wonderful qualities when paired with the right food or drink. You know, it's amazing to me that virtually every culture in history has had bread as one of its mainstays or staples, you know, for sustenance and for life. To quote Bruno Feldhuysen, the French chef and judge of the Great Canadian Baking Show, well, he is very famously to have said in one of his episodes that bread is life. You know, it is believed that Egyptians were the first to make bread thousands of years ago in the humble beginnings of human civilization. Egypt actually made a number of things that I actually like very much, and I have to say thank you, Egypt, for that. Well, at one point in my story, in my journey of faith, I actually worked at a bakery. Maybe you are already kind of figuring that out. And in this particular bakery, I started out as the doughboy. No joke. It was a demanding job. It began by sinking your hand into a big bucket filled with cold oil. That was because you were looking for the oven mitt that went up to the to your shoulder practically, that we used to prep the hundreds of pans that I would in turn load with dough to be cooked. It was a demanding job. 5 a.m. in the morning, prepping 50 to 100 pound batches of flour at a time, flour and water, in an industrial mixer. For various types of bread we would be making that day. You went home, well, simply when you went home, sometimes hours and hours later, not really getting to see the sun, as my shifts would start before the sun actually rose, and sometimes my shift would end actually after the sun had already set. That didn't happen all of the time, but when you're a small business and your business is to make bread and people order bread, well, you make bread. Coming off a long and productive shift, there was always a loaf of bread or two from the day-old counter that I was given to take home. And I always appreciated that. My boss was a good boss. He was a hard boss, but he was a good boss. Did I mention that I love bread? I can look back at fondness at my time spent at the bakery, and I still to this day will make the odd loaf of bread by hand. Once in a while, irregularly make a loaf of bread, not an odd loaf. I'm just glad I don't have to put my hand down a cold bucket of cold cooking oil to put on an oven mitt that I would find at the bottom to have to grease those hundreds and hundreds of pans. Well, have I made you hungry yet? Can you smell the bread? Can you see it rising in the oven? It's no coincidence. God created us to run on food, didn't he? Every day, we need to feed this machine, probably me more than others of you, or it will quickly stop working. And our stomachs begin to growl, and some of us will get into this liminal state of what we commonly refer to as being hangry. Have you ever heard of that before? Maybe you've experienced that before. Maybe you're a little hangry right now. Well, I hope not. Now, I will tell you, the youth had a candy hunt in the facility last night as part of our weekend festivities. And so maybe you might find a stray Snickers bar or two that the kids didn't find. Don't go hunting right now. But if you are hangry, maybe you can satisfy that a little bit. But that's what we do, right? Every day we get hungry, so we go in search of food. What's the first thing we start thinking about? First thing in the morning every single day. Well, you may have a particular routine, but I know very high on that list will be, what am I going to eat this morning? What am I going to eat today? What am I going to eat right now? You know, that's exactly what the people in this passage are looking for, right? We read in the passage that they get up in the morning, right, and they brush their teeth and they do their yoga. They get on the spinning bike for 20 minutes. They walk the dog, right? They bring in the newspaper. They check the sports scores. Oh no, what do? These people, they get up. Well, they're hungry. They're wondering, what are we going to have to eat today? You know, most people, like, this is not a secret. This is just truth. Most people in the ancient world Most people went to bed hungry every night. That's the truth. Most, almost all people. And it was a difficult, arduous task to feed a family. And that's exactly what our people here in our passage are looking for. They have come because they want to be fed by Jesus. They want more bread. And in the middle of a lengthy sermon by Jesus, he tells them that they will be hungry over and over, but that life only comes from eating the bread of life. What is this cryptic message by Jesus? I find it quite fascinating that they look for Jesus and they don't find him, and then a bunch of boats arrive and they're like, oh, well, Jesus must have been out fishing to get us more fish so that he can pray and make more bread. And then when they realize that neither Jesus or the disciples are there, well, they actually get a little antsy. And they begin searching for them, and they head off in the boats across to Capernaum to look for Jesus. And then they ask Jesus this pretty interesting question. Jesus, where are you going? Where did you come from? Why are we here? Right? And Jesus gets into this discourse, and he speaks to them in these symbols, in these words of bread and life. And of course, Jesus is referring to spiritual hunger and that the growling and gnawing of their souls will only be satisfied with the bread of life that has come down from heaven. What a great discussion here. The first little bit of our passage today. The people wake hungry only to find that Jesus is not there, so they go looking for him. And they basically begin asking very earthy questions. Jesus, when did you get here? Did you eat yet, Jesus? Jesus, are we going to be here until lunch? Or for the rest of the day, Jesus? They are hungry, right? Humans, we are so predictable, aren't we? I love Jesus' answer to the question. He says, you were looking for me not to discover that I have the authority to forgive sin, but because you ate and had your fill. Remember, later on, Jesus performs a miracle, and they're asking Jesus, you know, Jesus, what are you doing? And he says, well, I demonstrate my power with miracles, but this miracle or these miracles are performed to show that I have the authority to forgive sin. And they've totally missed it here. They've totally missed it. Why Jesus would make loaves and fish multiply over and over and over and over again for them. Because they're just concerned about their belly. Jesus tells them that if they have to get their eyes up, right? They have to get their eyes up and not just work for food that spoils, but that they need the food that endures to eternal life. What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus, we're just looking for some loaves and some fish. We're hungry, Jesus. He says, get your eyes up. Don't be looking so earthy. You need to work for food that doesn't spoil. The food that endures to eternal life. Boy, then that got me thinking about bread again. You know, that bread that Jesus made, you know, they talk about the fish, and Pastor Bob, I think, did a great job of, you know, even breaking it down. These are pieces of fish, right? This is like tuna salad. But really, do you eat tuna salad all by itself? Well, maybe if you're on keto, you might. But truly, what do you do with tuna salad? You put it on bread, right? And we'll say in our house, we have a saying, right? And it's you open the fridge and you say, boy, there's an awful lot to put in a sandwich, but nothing to put on a sandwich. Or vice versa. No, boy, I got an awful lot to make a sandwich with, but no bread to actually make a sandwich. That got me thinking. You know, the bread Jesus gave them, that must have been heavenly bread. Right? Like, this is like, oh my goodness. Jesus, I gotta say, like, you know, the fish is good. You know, I'm really enjoying the onion and the garlic that you've put in this, Jesus, but I gotta say, I could eat this bread all by itself, Jesus. Because what do we see at this point? The crowd, thinking that they're going to negotiate with Jesus, they show their biblical knowledge, and they get into the discussion of the manna that comes down from heaven to feed the people when they're wandering in the wilderness, when Moses is leading them out of captivity through the Exodus and into the Promised Land. Because at this point, the crowd refers to the manna in the wilderness, a type of bread that the Israelites received each morning from God that sustained them through the wilderness during the Exodus narrative. And you can read this in the book of Exodus. Of course, Jesus' answer to their question is central to our talk this morning. Verse 32, I want you to see this. Jesus says, "For it is not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So Chef Bruno was right. Bread is life. But looking back at this wilderness account, why did God send them manna, the bread from heaven? Well, truly because they were hungry. And what does a dad or a mom or a parent or a guardian, a caregiver, well, what do they do for the people they love and care about? Well, they feed them, right? They feed them. My mother-in-law, Muriel, if you're watching this morning, I love you. And I can't get into her home. I can't get two steps into her home that she's not asking me if I want something to eat. Why does she do that? Well, because she loves me. I can think about my Aunt Mary who raised me for a time when I was a child. And that was the running joke, was you just have to accept it. She's going to feed you. It doesn't matter what time it is. You could arrive at her house at midnight and wake her up. And the first thing she would do is she would get the stove on and get something cooking for you to eat. And why do they do that? Well, because they love you and they care for you. And the people were hungry in the wilderness, and God loved and cared for his people. But beyond that, he wanted them to know that he would always provide for them. And it was an illustration, it was a lesson about his faithfulness and about his provision for them always. So Jesus says to the crowd, "Oh, you're asking me when I got here? When I got here to Capernaum? Well, let me back up a little bit. When did I get here? Well, I was born in a manger late one night because there was no room at the inn. You are asking for miraculous bread?" He says, "I am the bread of life. And anyone who comes to me will never hunger or thirst again. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. How does the crowd respond to Jesus' message within his message to the crowd? How do they respond? Well, they say, well, from now on, give us that bread. That sounds even better than the bread with the fish. Give us that bread. Jesus, is that rye bread or is that just flat bread? God sent these people perfect bread. His Son, the Lord Jesus. But they couldn't get past their own physical needs and the rumbling of their own stomachs. God wanted his people to unmistakably recognize his provision for them. So he sent them manna, bread from heaven. The manna was a picture of the true manna, the true man, who would come later. Just as God sent his people bread when they were physically hungry, God has sent his Son, the bread of heaven, to feed them spiritually. God has sent the true bread from heaven. He has sent it, but it didn't appear on the ground with the dew in the morning like the manna did in the wilderness. This bread was born in a manger, humbly and lowly. The people that day just wanted their bellies filled. Where are we in this story? Well, truth be told, we often hunger for the wrong bread, don't we? Why did the people travel all the way across the lake to find Jesus? It wasn't because they believed that he would quench their spiritual hunger. Jesus states that they were seeking him because they wanted more bread to eat. Notice what Jesus says is the key to experiencing your first glorious spiritual feast. Jesus says this in verse 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Do you want to provide sustenance for yourself forever? Do you want to provide for your family? Do you want to love and care for those around you? Do you want to do sustainable work that will never spoil, that will never tarnish? Then that work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. But we are no better if we are truly honest with ourselves. We often get caught up in our own physical pursuits. We often let the rumbling of our bellies dictate what we do. And we often neglect to consider the deeper and more life-giving pursuits of closeness and faithfulness to Jesus. Now, I don't want to labor upon this, but how much time and resource do we put into grocery and restaurant shopping in a week? And how much time and effort and resource do we put into having spiritual bread to nourish our souls? Right? We can even come to church and listen to some guy make us hungry talking about bread. And spend considerable time thinking about what we're going to eat afterwards. We're peculiar creatures, aren't we? Well, if your life is spent day after day in a pursuit to put food on the table, or for that promotion, or for that bigger house, or for that nicer, newer car, or that exotic trip, well, you're going to leave from those experiences actually empty. It will not fill you. It will not sustain you. If your life only consists of quenching your physical needs, you will always be running on empty. Those needs are insatiable. Those needs are unquenchable. Those needs are never-ending. Those needs are always gnawing. They are always lurking just under the surface. To be truly filled to overflowing is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. To be truly filled to overflowing is to be filled with the Spirit of God. To hear His voice, to listen for Him as we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Now, we have ways to help you in this journey of faith. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, wow, yeah, that's hitting the nail on the head. You know, if I'm honest, I'm truly honest with myself, I'd really like to experience that kind of bread, that kind of sustenance in my life. Well, we have ways to help in this journey of faith. Now, I need to ask first and foremost, are you connected with a small group? There is such great value in doing life together with like-minded believers. Now, we are currently in flux. We are currently, as Pastor Bob has said before, in a liminal state, right? We're in this in-between. And some of us are just now taking those first steps of getting back into physical relationship and community with others. For some, that is still a complicated and a complex endeavor. And so I understand that. We're in flux. And for some of us, we have started meeting physically in a small way. For others, we continue to meet virtually. And I would encourage you, here's the truth. If you're a small group, it doesn't really matter to me how you meet. I'm just concerned that you meet. That's spiritual bread for you. And so I would encourage you to strike up that conversation. Perhaps you're a small group leader, and you need to strike up that conversation. Just send out a little tweet, a little email, a little phone call. Hey, we need to meet. Are you a mature believer? And you're realizing that you don't only need some bread, but you're needing a little bit more meat spiritually in your life. Well, I would encourage you to join the Urban Monastery. There's still time to join the Urban Monastery. You can talk to Pastor Doug. I'm not sure who Pastor Bug is. I think that's a Bob and Doug-ism, I think. But you can definitely talk to Pastor Doug or contact the office. Do you need help figuring out what it means to listen for God's voice? And do you need some help and some understanding in how to develop a posture of listening to God? Well, then I would say you need to get plugged into Pastor Bob's prayer group. Pastor Bob's prayer group has begun meeting on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I would encourage you to talk to Pastor Bob or contact the office about that. They meet here at KBC. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the only one who can fill the emptiness inside of us. A life well spent. A life where you will be completely fed up is a life spent in the pursuit of Jesus. I love the words of Jesus when he responds. He says, I am the bread of life. Ego eimi. Those are the same words that God uses when he talks to Moses at the burning bush. And Moses says, "Who are you? I don't even know your name." And God says, "I am who I am. I'm the one who has always existed, who has always been here, who has always loved you, who has always cared for you." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." As I was finishing, thinking through this and writing it out, the Holy Spirit gave me words of a song that I just want to share this morning as I close. You may have heard this before. You may have never heard it before in your life. It goes a little something like this. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. May you be fed to the full as you find Jesus and He nourishes your soul. He is the bread of life. Heavenly Father, go before us. Go with us today, Lord. Father, I'm hungry right now. Lord, it's going to be getting on time where our family's going to have to figure out what we're going to eat for lunch. And then there will be a discussion about what we might want to start or think through or prepare for tonight for dinner. Oh boy, I'm mindful of the words, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, we know that You care for us. You love us. We know that, Lord, as Jesus talked with Your people, He was concerned about them getting home. And I will raise them up in the last day. So much care and concern and love for us. Father, impress it upon our hearts. Reveal to us, Lord, today, even now, that You are everything we need spiritually. Father, may we find the bread of life. May it be real and true to us today, and may it nourish us and heal us and fill us to overflowing. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. Love, life, lasting joy, found Jesus in Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.